Well, I'm just pouring this food into my mouth before I ask you about half stars.
What? About half stars?
Oh yeah, we're going to talk about rating systems as our cold open.
Yes, okay. The thing about star ratings is that sometimes something's better than 4 stars, but not as good as 5.
When you don't use the half stars, even when they're offered to you, then you have to decide, is something hot shit, or is it just hot?
Yeah, it makes you commit, but it makes you commit errors.
Wait, if I'm going to give a game 96%, it better be fucking amazing. It better eat me out while I play it.
So like Hades, then.
Hello and welcome to RF78.2, Radio Gundam, a watch-along podcast for various Gundam series and movies, suitable for newcomers and casual fans alike. Experts are people I'm envious of, because the research hole for this one has been never-ending. This is episode 1 in 144.
What are you cuckoos doing today? Want to record a podcast about Mobile Suit Gundam? Should only take up a few hours of your time. Yes, you can make jokes. No, not those jokes. I'll do the edit, it's fine. You just bring your winning personalities, it'll do fine.
I really can't do voices.
A barge just sailed past with a little pixie on it. I don't know.
A strange pixie that had obtained the initial pitching.
It's right, you can do the podcast then.
So yes.
I'll go watch Cuckoo's Island. Blah blah.
Cuckoo's doing.
What are you cuckoos doing today?
Doing. I was gonna just say Cuckoo's Door, and I'm like, that's not.
Hello, it's me, Cuckoo's Door. Welcome to me inlet.
It's where I'm really jealous of people who naturally sound like that, like Craig Charles, which is definitely what I was trying to do there.
Oh, uncanny, just like him. What were you saying?
Just like him. Just like watching an episode of Corrie.
I just want everyone to know that I think his name is so fucking stupid.
Craig Charles?
No. Whatever. Fucking Doan. Like, Doan itself is a bad name. And then it's like Kookaburra.
Kookaburra. Kookaburra. That's my Metal Gear Solid 3 joke for
today. He has a bad name and I can't pronounce it. And I've got to say it a lot, so
Mobile Suit Gundam, Craig Charles's Island.
That would be much better.
We're not going to commit to this bit for the whole episode, but I would be very tempted to just go and say Craig Charles's Island for the whole episode.
It's tempting. You know the H on Rimmer's forehead stands for Harrow.
I thought it stood for hentai.
No!
Please, nobody find out what Chris Barry has become nowadays. It's very depressing.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh,
he's fallen down several mad fucker conspiracy holes.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm probably going to edit most of this part out, but we'll keep that bit and none of the rest. Yes, welcome, gentle listener and violent listener and in-between listener. I don't know who you are.
Patient listener.
Radio Gundam. This is our special episode where we are going to do the famed lost episode, only in English-speaking territories, of Mobile Suit Gundam. That is the real episode 15, Kukuru's Doan's Islands. And we're also going to do the movie, Kukuru's Doan's Islands. You can watch the movie on Crunchyroll, both subbed and dubbed. I highly recommend it. And the lost episode, you can find yourself somehow.
whenever you buy a Harrowpla gunpla, if you build it and you use all the parts in the right way, you can twist it round and it unlocks the episode.
it appears on your Dropbox.
It just appears. You do get possessed by an ancient Egyptian spirit, but small price to pay, right?
Indeed. But that's part of why we're covering it, because some people may never have seen it and want to go and hear the differences from the popular 2022 film that is now revolutionising our lives. I am joined by my lovely co-hosts.
I'm Alexander Woodward. You don't get to know my secret name. That was just for me.
I'm Sammy!
This is Sammy.
No.
What? What do you mean no?
You're not Sammy. I'm Sammy.
I know, that's why I said this is Sammy.
Oh.
It's you.
Oh, it's me. All along. It was me.
Austin.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Right, this is terrible. Hi, we've failed at introducing ourselves. Should we go again?
I didn't know.
We're keeping all this because the best part is that I need to follow up by going, and I'm Maxie B.
Hi, Max.
So it's like there's no smooth segue from that chaos to that. This episode has a special structure, a little different to our normal episodes, but because every episode is numbered 1 out of 144, you ain't going to know it. Although maybe this is a Master Grade episode. I should have thought about that before saying it in the intro. So we'll instead say that this is real grade.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, baby.
There we go.
Yeah.
More detail.
There is no question section this episode, but please do not forget, we would love to hear what your favourite Gundam OP is. That's the opening music that plays during the opening credits of each show. You can tell us over on Twitter at Radio Gundam, which we mostly use for me to gush about Master Grade SD, because...
It is pretty nice, to be honest.
I'm all about it. I've got to build his legs, the poor fucker.
They do need legs.
But what we do have, in exchange for lack of questions this week, we have two retrospectives.
Wow.
That's... Gee, Alex, why does your mum let you have two retrospectives?
She doesn't.
Oh. I don't even know if people remember that meme.
I know, I remember that meme.
We reference it whenever we see two objects, to be fair.
To be fair, I think Mary's worse than us.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
So the problem without having the lack of normal structure, I'm just trying to think, how do I segue to a retrospective? So I'm going to say...
So, Max!
Hey, guys! Do you want a retrospective?
Hey, I do!
Hey, Maxie B, why don't you tell us about some things that happened in the past?
Specifically to
us.
No,
to the
about
games
Gundam.
That suck ass.
Ah, perfect.
Okay.
Action.
To the episodes of Gundam that suck ass. I missed it. Fuck. How does James Rolfe do it? I know he doesn't. The guy who does the themes. It doesn't matter. Retrospective. The lost episode of Mobile Suit Gundam. It's peculiar covering this. Most lost media is actually lost, but this is widely available, just only in certain territories, and the attempts to hide it from the wider world has just made it infamous. It's the Streisand effect gone large on a children's cartoon. But for as infamous as this is, we only really know so much about what happened, which we'll loosely cover...
Now.
Kukura's Doan's Island was one of three episodes designed to be able to slot in at various points in the production pipeline, along with Coming Home and Time Be Still. Something backed up by comments from Tomino in the March 1980 issue of Animage, and further acknowledged by Yoshikazu Yasuhiko in a Forbes interview, which I'll quote from later actually, noting that this episode, Kukura's Doan's Island, was specifically outsourced so that the main team could focus on the core story, rather than a flexible diversion. It's largely acknowledged that the team this was outsourced to was Anime Friend, a South Korean subsidiary of Tatsunoko, mostly known for in-betweens and photography for other studios. The sort of ancillary work that, you know, it's important, but it does make for a studio that might not be so good at making an actual episode of an anime.
They're used to just doing they did the backgrounds for Disney's Dinosaur.
People will believe that. They're all... Our captive audience, they believe everything we say.
They shouldn't.
I only speak the truth.
And I only speak lies.
Oh God, what do I say?
Vagaries. Well, what's the cat from like early Adventure Time episodes? It's like, I have approximate knowledge of all things.
It's, yeah. Hello, Frank the human boy. And he's like, how did you almost know my name?
Still to this day, the best joke in all of Adventure Time. So that's what the episode is, but what of its fate? There are theories and thoughts as to why it is restricted from non-Asian territories, save a broadcast existence in Italy in the 80s, but there's very little official word. I've seen it posited that the issue is Roland, the green-haired girl who is completely recast in the film remake. Her name is a sound-alike for Lauren from Turn A Gundam, because they're both Roland, Lauren, the L's and R's issue.
Roland.
One could believe that this presents an issue for a series comfortably full of unique names. Some would say too unique.
It's me!
Another is as simple as it being made by a different group. It's a stepchild at best, and an ugly one at that. And that disconnect from Sunrise's production may irk those that have power over these decisions, such as Tomino. And what does Tomino have to say about it himself? Anime columnist and Anime News Network editor Mike Toole asked Tomino directly, well, with a translator, but you know, he asked and he got an answer back via proxy as such, and asked why the episode was excluded from Western releases, and he got a bit of an unusual response.
I asked that it be skipped,
Tomino said through a translator.
There's a reason, but since the staff is still alive, I can't talk about it.
What a fucking thing. Like,
oh my god!
Tomino says a lot of shit, but whoa, that's dark.
I can't tell you why that man lives.
What the
He knows what happened.
There's a blood grudge there.
Well, we'll get to that sort of thing in just a second. As I put my tinfoil hat on. That's the best answer he's ever given on the subject. It doesn't necessarily write off any other theory, but it does make you wonder who has to die for him to talk freely. Or indeed, if it's just another case of Tomino revising his own history by giving self-serving answers. It is interesting to note that despite its outsourcing, Yasuhiko Yoshikazu, I said his name the other way around this time for some reason, did do the character designs for this episode, which would have included Roland. The two, that is to say Yas and Tomino, aren't exactly close anymore, and have had, I shit you not, at least one known physical fight in their lives at the Crusher Joe premiere.
Actually,
my research hit a very interesting note.
When was that?
At the Crusher Joe premiere. So the film version of it, so it's got to be like 80s, I imagine.
Oh, I see, right.
So, like, I mean, it could be anyone. But I wonder if it's Yas.
Ooh.
I will join you in this.
Especially because if you say to yourself, Tomino wants rid of the episode and has negative feelings about it, you know, Yas made a character whose name Tomino might not like and also seems to actually quite like the episode enough to make a film of it. You're kind of like, maybe the two have fundamentally different opinions. Let's not ask about, like, new types and... like Yas's opinions on those and how him and Tomino differ, because my god, we'd be here all day.
It's in the origin manga as well, right?
No.
Is there a manga version of it?
I will address that in the second retrospective.
Well, no. I'll just shit my pants.
Okay. As of the present day, an official English sub does exist of this episode. Mostly on a 2020 Japanese box set of the show. And the episode itself has an immense legacy. It's referenced in video games, in the Build Fighters series, there's Gunpla inspired by the episode, there is a 5-volume manga version, as well as a one-shot prequel that is explicitly a prequel to the episode version of the story.
Oh.
And, of course, a movie remake.
I haven't seen that.
We're going to talk about it later. So, like, just in case, I will mention, Yas had pleurisy at some point and got hospitalised. He describes in a well-known NHK documentary that we'll get to in the future, the experience of going through that and how he thought it was a heart attack and that was him dying, and the experience of being in a hospital bed watching some dog shit animated episodes of Mobile Suit Gundam, which is why people think Kukuru's Domans is one of them. But I've got some spoilers for you about later episodes of Mobile Suit Gundam. They ain't gonna look any fucking good.
I mean, they haven't been looking good so far for the most part,
it's
so...
only gonna get worse. I'm very excited.
And that's our retrospective for the first episode. I hope that provided a little bit of background context.
I have lots of background.
And I'm just gonna unfold my legs because one of them has gone a bit numb, so... A slight breather before we go into the episode summary. Shoo! Well, now we've all loosened our tongues. Mobile Suit Gundam, episode, technically, 15, Kukuru's Domans Island. After a slightly bizarre intro told over a really basic illustration of the various sides and their trajectories around Earth, we open on Amuro and Ryu practicing mid-air docking. This is cut short when Frau Bo, filling in for an absent sailor for some reason...
Where's she gone?
Where could she be?
She's not supposed to be in the brig yet.
receives a Federation distress call from an island designated 305, and Amuro is dispatched to investigate in the core fighter. Amuro reaches point 305. That's one of those numbers again. Please take them down for your ARG. Only to find the Federation soldiers bound and dying, soon dead, and small children attacking him with rocks. Rather than fight children, he retreats to the core fighter, only to find himself in conflict with a deformed Zaku and its pilot, Kukuru's Doan. A former soldier who took in these children after a misfire from Doan himself killed their parents. Oops. After being instructed to kill the children, he deserted, and after some undepicted events from a prequel manga made years later, ended up on this very island, along with one other older girl, the green-haired Roland. Doan makes clear he has no intent to hurt Amuro, but asks him to disarm. On Amuro's refusal, they have a brief fight where the weaponless Doan outsmarts Amuro and renders him defeated and unconscious with a rock. Amuro awakes later in a wood cabin where Roland exposits as to what's going on and Doan's intentions. Amuro tries to demand his core fighter back from Doan, who refuses. Amuro decides Doan is a manipulator using the children he protects and storms off to the core fight himself. It's kind of a weird stretch, but I think Amuro might have some strange feelings about children being involved in war, except for the three that live with him on his war base.
Those kids are mean, and they had slingshots. You know.
Amuro fails to find much of anything, and lazily watches the sunset to cool his head. Roland finds him and does the traditional activity of slapping Amuro when he's wrong about something. She corrects Amuro's perception of Doan and encourages him to ask Doan as to his origins. Doan dreams back to his accidental war crime, waking with a "Aah!" and heading off to his radar, desperate to protect the kids he owes an endless debt to. The white base is at a dead end looking for Amuro until they catch someone heading to 305 on a radar and set off in pursuit, assuming it's related. It's a Luggan with a Zaku 2 hanging on underneath, which attacks the island and in turn Amuro and the kids, who retreat to the cabin where Amuro pleads with Doan to give him the core fighter back. The cabin gets blown to shit. Doan relents and they all head into the waterfall where Doan, Zaku and the core fighter have been stashed. Ryo and the white base arrive in time to lend support and allow Amuro to dock into the Gundam and shoot down the Luggan. Before he can fight the enemy Zaku, however, Doan stops him and shows him
an alternative to weapons.
Mobile suits, martial arts. I can't say
the undefeated of the East.
I'm going to try again. Mobile suits, martial arts.
Let me try.
Mobile suits, martial arts. Martial arts are on fire. Oh, no.
Mobile suits, martial arts. Finishing the enemy. Zaku with a powerful punch to the belly welly. I can't do it for the whole summary.
Belly welly.
So he punches the Zaku with a powerful punch to the belly welly that makes the back explode.
He blows his back out, yeah.
Yeah. Doan explains everything about his past to Amuro, who correctly assesses that having the weapon itself attracts the conflict and disposes of Doan's Zaku. He is finally free of war and can try to live as such, and has imparted wisdom to the young Amuro along the way. Amuro salutes. Nobody salutes back. The end.
Polyphemus salutes back.
So that is the most bare bones description of the episode possible. And we're going to talk about it a little more in detail now.
Can I just say that I really struggled with this episode because I watched the movie first. So I'm like...
I watched the movie first.
Yeah.
You watched the movie first.
Yeah.
We were there.
And I shouldn't have done that. I should have watched the episode first. Because then it came to the episode, I found it really hard to take notes because the whole time I'm sat there, I'm just like, this is dog shit.
This isn't right.
Who the fuck is Roland?
My question to you all at this moment in time is this the ugliest episode of a traditionally animated cartoon that you've ever seen?
It is up there. It is.
I wanted to say no there. But I can't think of one that's worse.
I had to say traditionally animated because when I asked the question originally, I just said animated. And I remembered the 3D film Food Fight, which is the ugliest thing in the universe.
That made me make a Minecraft noise. Oh, wait, no, I watched that the ape NFT thing. NFTs were. I watched that.
There you go. So this is better than an ape NFT sitcom?
Just.
The errors are infamous. There are many of them. One I didn't see in the episode, but have been assured is the case, so I've just put it down in my early notes. At one point, Doan Zarku has two eyes and doesn't have the divider anywhere. And
also, it's a skinny little bitch.
Yeah, he's a skinny little bitch.
He's got some kind of eating disorder.
At another point, the shoulders just randomly flip.
Yep. It's easy done, you know.
And
it's
sometimes like, my shoulders just switch.
Yeah.
The main thing about it, though, is even when it's on model, the model that they've got it on is kind of melting.
Yeah.
It's a funhouse mirror of a Zarku.
Oh, yeah, its nose is, like, really long.
The mask thing with the hydraulics is, too far down, too far out. It kind of looks like a Crash Bandicoot.
It doesn't really look like a Zarku, which is good because later he fights a Zarku and it gets very confusing.
The other Zarku does look like shit as well, to be fair.
They both look bad.
The other Zarku could be fucking anything. Just a nameless, faceless thing that appears and just fucking gets in a fight. There's nothing to it. There's no explanation. It's just, hey, here's a Zarku with a lug and
fuckers.
I think also as well, we can't forget how bad the human characters look in this as well. Doan is one of the ugliest pieces of shit ever. Fuck. He has a giant dick neck.
Doan in the film, not to spoil it for later, is like quite a bearish daddy sort of look. And he literally looks like a fucking Cro-Magnon troglodyte in this fucking episode.
I could not stop looking at his weird neck. Why was it so big? It didn't need to be that big.
There were several shots of the man that it focused on without moving for 4 or 5 seconds at a time, of his eyes looking in two different directions and his mouth parted just slightly.
And he's like, are you trying to smile?
What is this? What are you doing there, sir?
I think most people were cross-eyed in this episode because in my notes I did put about Ryu being the most cross-eyed I'd ever seen him.
Oh, yeah, Ryu was looking...
Ryu actually looks, considering he is, I think, canonically the most inconsistently drawn main cast member, like, he looks better here than he does in a lot of places just by sheer inertia.
I guess we can tell that it's Ryu because we're like, that kind of looks like Ryu, so it's probably Ryu.
This could be a human.
This is some kind of brownie green person. So that must be who they're trying to say is Ryu.
We get to enjoy Ryu's presence a couple of times in it, but mostly during the opening sequence with the core fighter.
I don't
want to pass by this map, though, the thing they do the fucking introduction over. What the fuck is that map?
I don't know.
Like, we've seen, I think, some very nicely drawn intro sequences that use footage from other parts of the show, and we've seen some that look pretty bad because they've got a very tiny ship floating across a zoomed-in bit of space. But this is literally just someone's absolutely dogshit attempt at drawing where the sides are and their Lagrange points and stuff, and you're just kind of like, no. Please.
The earth is off model.
And I think the worst bit for me is it makes the distances look really weird. I'm like, why did it take them so long to get to Luna 2?
I could walk that far.
Yeah. Like, that's like 10 minutes. Just nip it out to Luna 2.
This
diagram actively hurts. And the one time they do actually go to like archival footage for the recap is to show you Giran giving his Hitler speech. And I'm just like, please, no. Like, no. Don't get me wrong, it's a good scene, but he's not particularly animated during it. It's the performance that elevates it.
He's just kind of stood there, not doing much. He doesn't even move his arms about.
Did you notice as well, Garma behind him, really off model. Like, his head was massive.
Huge, yeah. Like that portrait of him.
It's SD Garma. but the gun Perry with the hole in it is used this episode as well. That's continuity, baby.
Yeah,
the butter dish.
I suppose it is.
But curiously, for the mid-air docking, the Gundam doesn't come out of the side like it normally does. Did you guys see where it came out of? a Gundam-shaped recess in the bottom of the gun Perry that cannot possibly exist with the physics we are aware of the what? Space that is the gun Perry.
Did it?
Yeah, but if it didn't come out of there, how are they going to dock midair?
How did I miss this?
It's got a little Gundam bomb at the bottom.
They just literally lets it go. They manage a 19 seconds air dock, which seems decent but not realistic in battle. And Bright is mad about it. He's like, we've got to be quicker. I'm just like, I know they need to be able to do a docking outside of White Base in case White Base isn't nearby, but this ain't it. This is incredibly, like, overdone.
I mean, before we talk about Bright and Bright's reaction and moving on, we have to talk about how fucked up this section is.
Is this when we get to see, or is this afterwards? I know we were trying to avoid, like, jumping around continuity-wise.
This is still in this section, because I know what you're going to tell me about, and that's right. It's the top half of the Gundam sliding off, ready to launch the core fighter. It's fucking horrible.
It
looks like a little deodorant.
What?
It's like a little, like, you know, the ones in, you scroll it at the bottom and it pushes up. It's a little
deodorant. See. Yeah. Like a Solero.
Yeah.
No, like, not Solero. Fuck.
Did like you know as well that the lower half of the Gundam can launch the core fighter with the same velocity that a modified catapult can? Because Amuro freaks out going through the air when he flies out of there.
That's just a habit he has.
So I was going to say, Ryu says once Amuro has launched out of the core fighter to go off to the island, he goes, honestly, it's too weird seeing the Gundam like that. And
you're fucking right, Ryu.
I was like, yeah, I know. It looks fucking horrible, Ryu.
The whole fucking thing, because the Gundam just gets on all fours in a submissive and breathable pose. We get an internal shot of its organs with Amuro inside.
Oh, like a it's little horrible. Fetus.
Yeah.
And then Ryu looks down, he's just like, God, I hate looking at that.
That's really fucked up.
It's like there's suddenly just a little bit of X-ray vision for the first time ever in the show. And it's never like, happened before.
Probably the only time.
It's like, there he is. Yeah, I know that. I know that Amuro pilots the Gundam.
Oh, God. I think that was the point where I just kind of gave up. I'm like, oh, my God. Like,
was the internal shot to show that Amuro's pilot in it for people that are newly tuning in? They've never seen Gundam before. They turn this on. They're like, oh, my God. There's a boy in there.
Can you imagine if this was someone's first episode of Mobile Suit Gundam?
Oh my God, you'd never watch the show again. I'd never watch any show. I'd become an accountant.
There's been a mix-up at the Anime Factory and these new episodes of Witch from Mercury. Yeah, it was supposed to be a recap this week. But yeah, we got some Kukuru's Doan's Island in there. Terrible mix-up.
Oh, they're the same show, really. So the only thing I've got left to talk about from this section, and it really does pervade the whole thing, is, do you think this is supposed to be after Sailor's agony?
Where is Sailor? Sailor Watch.
With absolutely no acknowledgement, Frau Bo is working on the comms. That's not her job. She doesn't know how to do comms. She makes hot salad.
She doesn't even know how to do salad.
She only looks after children.
Fucking
old people. Invalids.
It's completely without mention. So I was just like, do anime friend? Do they have personal issues with Sailor? Is it because she's blonde? Do they hate blondes? Because I don't think Job's in this episode either.
Is Job in this one?
Are any of the kids on the island blonde?
I cannot remember a single child on the island.
I remember them being less ugly than the regular children,
yeah.
But that's not difficult.
Poor regular children. Then let's actually... Yeah, so on the islands, which is way greener than the movie, by the way, but obviously we'll talk about that more in the movie. These children throwing rocks to dying men that were left there to die... Like, these kids are fucked up. Like, they may look better than the normal kids, but that ain't normal.
I found this whole section really fucked up because, like, okay, so Doan's, like, supposed to be a good character that Amuro just doubts and then, you know, changes his mind after seeing blah, 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 blah. But this is a person who has, like, attacked people and left them to die.
Yeah, but he did it non-violently.
Yeah, but it is violent to leave someone to die in, like, because they didn't die in nice ways. They died of, like, their wounds.
No. He tied them to a chair and waited for them to starve to death. It was non-violent.
That is very violent. That's a horrible way to die.
They were bleeding because they because of an unrelated issue.
I found it really hard.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I found it so hard to like kind of like, because obviously in the movie you can see like Dawn is a full realized character, whereas in this he's just kind of like a weird dick neck man who kills people and claims he doesn't want to fight.
He didn't kill the people.
He did.
They died of starvation.
Because he tied
it's
them
hands
up.
Off.
But this is the
he
thing.
Left them in their ships.
The Dawn in the films is technically better because he kills the people, because at least he doesn't torture them tied up in their ships.
Well, they could eat if they wanted to.
What could they eat? They were
tied
up.
They could leave their friends behind.
Because if you don't eat, then I won't eat, and we'll all die on time.
Oh, good.
Like, they didn't have access to anything.
They were still
no
wearing boats, weren't they? They could have boiled their boats.
How?
They were tied up.
They could have wriggled out and gotten free.
How?
I would have left.
I found it really...
skill issue.
Like, I was kind of, like, agreeing with Amuro, just like, this guy is really sketchy.
This guy has manipulated these kids.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he leaves people to die. Oh, bad vibes.
He didn't do that.
He did do
no,
that.
No, they... Listen, somebody installed... There was an... The reason that there are ropes, there was a software error in the ship, and instead of an airbag, it was a machine that ties you two up and makes you die.
Okay.
And a poison gas comes out.
I cannot stress enough as well. Emery, obviously he doesn't realise they're children initially. They're just rocks flying over rocks because it's easier to animate that than children throwing. But he tries to shoot these children with a gun.
He just goes straight to it.
And, like, it's only when he gets up to the cliff edge and sees a slingshot and's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be shooting these children, that he, like, panics and goes back to the core fighter. Which...
It's...
They'll get
it's
in there
the
eventually.
Same as when you try and fight a baby. You know, like, when you're trying to fight a baby because an adult cannot use their full strength on a baby, but a baby will always use its full strength. It's like that. Except these are children with slingshots. The slingshots look like shit. Like, because usually a slingshot is... like a Y shape so that you can actually sling it. This is just one stick with a string on the end.
This is
it
not
broke.
A traditional Dennis Jimenez fucking slingshot.
This is some sort of newfangled... It's a new type of slingshot.
Oh. So we've already talked about the Long Zaku and how it's bad. I don't think there is anything funnier in all of Mobile Suit Gundam so far than Amuro firing a missile at Dawn Zaku and Dawn having the time to pick up a rock, throw it at the missile, and successfully hit it. And it's the mid-air explosion that causes the core fighter, an advanced fighting machine, to spiral out and crash into the ocean.
Yeah, but it was a really big explosion.
Big rock.
Big rock, big explosion.
It was a big rock.
Dawn's just got that magical mobile suit. Martial arts.
He used the martial arts. He enveloped the rock with his ki.
Yeah. He put some martial arts magic in it.
He put some English on it.
Yeah. Here is my question to you, my lovely friends. Throwing a rock, is it that different to a gun?
I suppose it depends how hard you can throw a rock.
Pretend you're a robot. How hard do you think you can throw a rock?
I'm pretending I'm a robot right now. The fool says that throwing a rock is non-violent. Wise man say... What is a gun, if not an avenue for a rock to go fast?
I think they're similar, but it depends on your own personal power, because I personally wouldn't be able to do the same amount of damage with a rock as I could do with a gun.
My own personal power is that I bought a gun last week.
No.
Yeah, and I put rocks in it, and now it's broken.
Do you think if you were a Zeon soldier, just following orders... Rather than having a misfire where you accidentally kill some children's parents, would throwing a rock give you more time to think about it and not do it?
How big is the rock?
That's the thing, isn't it? It's a challenge. I think rocks are slower than guns, so it's probably safer, but it's still a weapon. A rock is a weapon. The Zaku's a weapon.
I mean, a rock was the first weapon. That's how Cain did Abelin. Or the other way around. I don't remember. It's been a while since Sunday school. A few days.
What are you talking about? This releases on Sunday.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
we're in Sunday school right now.
This is Sunday school. And Reverend Dawn is putting on a clinic where there are doctors. Hold on.
Amuro wakes up in this grassy paradise that looks a lot more like a farm than the movies, even though the movies are, you know, technically more realistic. You know, it's a cartoon farm.
I think the house he's in, like, even though it's technically less... blown up than like the one in the movie. It's pretty shit.
This house sucks.
It's like a little shitty cabin.
Day one Minecraft house.
And I'm like, oh God. Oh, I wouldn't want to live there with a creepy old man who killed my parents.
We now know your opinion about logs. This is also where we're introduced to Roland, the anime-only variant character of Kara that we meet in the movie, who has greener hair. And I think she's nothing at all.
She has a hat.
I mean, she's not allowed to have a personality. She's a woman in Gundam.
A woman? A woman.
She's literally, like, literally speaking, just an exposition machine. Like, there's nothing else to her.
She's got a glove for slapping, I guess.
So it's like, if she was the issue,
or is that the movie?
I don't care if you designed her. I'd get rid of the fucking character. Like, great.
Get rid of all the characters.
Ah, much better.
Just have a loose
The movie
Amarok.
Would just be called Island. Nothing would happen on it.
Oh my God. If I could remove this from my brain, I would.
Yeah, does Roland say anything of consequence here? Or do things only really kick in when he goes out and sees Doan?
He doesn't really say anything, but as Amuro goes off to look for the core fighter, it does have that long silent shot of Doan with his eyes like going the wrong directions and a weird vacant smile. And I did think that that my video had frozen and then it went doo-doo-doom.
Shoo! We did too when we were watching it.
Well, I didn't actually notice at that point because when he first exits the cabin, he sees Doan and I was like, oh, Peter Gabriel reference. Because Doan is digging in the dirt. Stay with me. I need support. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Digging in the dirt.
I know the song.
Find the place where your core fighter was put. Stupid. Sorry. That one goes out for all the Peter Gabriel heads out there. Fuck.
I thought he only had one.
No.
No. Have as many heads as he wants.
Fuck. So I've derailed things again.
There's no rail. This is loose. We're on notes, baby.
Baby.
I like that you get this nice shot of the waterfall and you're just thinking like, Amuro, just look behind it. Like, I know the water's blue in the shot, but water, by and large, is at worst translucent, right?
Yeah, the blueness is non-diegetic, surely.
Yeah, Amuro should have been able to see through that really easily, but...
And you know what he
does
do,
I love to talk about diegesis. Sorry.
Is this you being a sort of a New Age Jehovah's Witness? going door-to-door saying, I'd like to talk to you about diegesis.
Talk to you about diegesis?
And they go, I know, he did it once and came back, and presumably did it again later.
No, his little sticky legs stuck out of a cloud and shot back up. Why am I so religious on podcasts?
You know, Amuro,
this is your role,
swims around in this like it's no big deal.
He's good at swimming in this one.
He's good at swimming, and I don't think that makes sense to me because he, you know, I feel like unless you've got like swimming pools there, I don't think the sides would have a lot of water to swim in.
I mean, they don't have thunderstorms.
They've got to have pools, though. It's like it's the bougie place to live, right?
Well, no, it's quite the opposite, isn't it? All the fancy people stayed on Earth.
Which from Mercury, sorry.
Ha ha.
So
they're opposite shows.
Oh, Spacians.
Yeah, it really confused me when he could just swim. I'm just like, no. What are you doing? Get out of there.
You should be drowning.
He should have been drowning.
That's my favourite bit in Moulin Rouge. Remember that bit? You should be drowning. Blah, 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 blah.
I think
the sunset is like the sunset in these scenes where Amuro's laying in front of it and just like because he's given up and he's sulking. I think that is a very pretty sun, and that is the only praise I will have for the art in this episode.
I will accept it didn't look like dog shit.
I like when Harrow was on screen.
No, the sun is not just a very big Harrow, it's a gaseous orb.
Don't.
So, like Harrow then?
It's not the Zacrello Harrow that you own.
Why are you gonna hurt me?
Oh, it's not the fate thing anymore. Now I've revealed you own the Zacrello Harrow. This is what kills your credibility.
Shame.
It's on brand for me on this. Yeah. I love the Zacrello. I love Harrow. You know,
I hate the Zacrello, but Zacrello Harrow is neat. He's
five
like
stars.
A potato.
He is a little potato.
Just think he's neat. I get it. Oh, so Amuro is teleporting around this fucking island. Like, he's getting around the place, isn't he?
He's using it as a transmission, you know? Two fingers to the forehead.
But he doesn't have shoes, and I think he's still in his boxers.
Oh, yeah! I had a freak out because I'm just like, why isn't he wearing shoes?
He's
why
a fucking
isn't he
hobbit.
Wearing shoes?
Well, this is why the movie had to add a teenager around the same age as Amuro so that he could borrow clothes.
No, it was so they could kiss in Sammy's imagination.
Oh, I look forward to hearing more about that later.
Get garmed, idiot.
Why do you think I wanted him to drown so much? Because then Marcus would be called forth from the universe and would have to dive in and save him.
Oh, I was, because, yeah, when he was under the water, you were just like, drown, drown.
And you wondered why that was. Sammy, you're extra unhinged today.
At some point in here, we do actually cut back to the white base for a second because I made a note that Frau is worried, but that's all the notes I made about it, so it can't have been a long scene.
Oh, yeah, it just cuts back and Frau's just like, where's Sailor? And then it just cuts back.
Because I know shortly afterwards we get Ryu has slept in his work chair. And like he and Brett just like, oh, we both slept poorly.
He was in his ghost costume, wasn't he?
His little ghost costume.
He got uncovered by Scooby-Doo and the three children. Wait, is Frau Scooby-Doo?
No, Harrow is.
Harrow's Scooby-Doo.
The thing about so Harrow is that he's a ball
he goes,
who thinks
a he's
Harrow? A man.
Where?
Harrow?
Hello?
piss. Fucking Roland finds Amuro, right? And she's just like, well, you're on the beach. Slap.
Well, look, right, there's... Ever since he received that big slap from Bright, there's been, like, some sort of pheromone coming out of Amuro because of his awakening to being a new type.
Sniff it.
That means it inspires slapping, you know?
Oh, like... He's prompting other people to do it.
Yeah, like Matilda's a girl who stinks good. Amuro is a boy who stinks slap.
I'm always saying this.
I can't argue with that logic.
Every new type or woman in this series has a distinct scent that gives them a certain reaction from people. Frau smells like a mother. Kamaria smells like a bad mother. Mirai smells like buttons. And so does Bright, which is why they bond.
Yeah.
What would your new type smell be?
I'm trying to remember the name of Kai's love interest later.
Kai gets a love interest?
No, we're not allowed to talk about it.
It's an Amuro.
But I want to make a good joke about the smell of missile backdraft.
Definitely don't talk about it.
Oh, boy.
Giving it all away.
Oh. I'm just excited. Wait, no. No, I don't like death.
Can I die?
No, stop it!
Kai
Alex,
found
what,
a newspaper,
what is your
fine.
New type okay. smell?
Don't ask me that.
Sammy, sniff Alex, tell me what you smell.
I can't say that on the podcast.
Okay.
What?
Great, so Alex smells of cum. Oh, Sammy, right. What's your new type smell?
No, it's not cum. I don't smell of cum.
No, I wouldn't say cum.
Max said cum.
Oh, no.
They can smell it from there.
Oh, no.
Sammy, what's your new type smell? Go.
My new type smell is ice cream that's melting too quickly.
Oh, no. You can smell the rate of...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't have to make sense. It's a new type thing.
That's fair, to be honest. You know what? Yeah.
My new type smell is hot computer fan.
Ooh.
My new type smell is unreleased Limp Bizkit track.
Yeah, come, that's what I said.
No!
The likelihood of Limp Bizkit having an unreleased song called Come is really high.
It's 99%, isn't it? Ugh. Right, we got to get back to brass tacks.
Who's Amuro?
So... No, fuck Amuro, he's rubbish.
Okay.
But was Sailor in the bomb one with all the bombs, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, hold on, was she?
I don't remember seeing her. I don't remember seeing her, but, you know.
I wonder if they were like, we know that Sailor's going to get put in the brig at some point, so let's just stop putting her in episodes, just in case.
Just in case. We never know.
Well, she was definitely in Mummy Be a Lady Tonight.
She was in the mum one,
she was the one that sent the alert
to Amuro.
Him
up, yeah.
She was like, Amuro, can you Amuro. Just fucking come home, please?
Should we make up our own answer? I think Sailor was the bombs in Time Beast still.
I think Sailor was the unreleased Limp Bizkit track.
Come.
I think Sailor was in Cuckoo's Doan's Island.
No.
She was one of the farm tools.
Oh, calling her like a big nasty hoe.
She was a shovel. That's why her hair is that shape.
Yeah. It all makes sense. Why else would they draw her like that?
Speaking of the island's owner, we've got Doan's Nightmare here. What do we all think of Doan's Nightmare?
Doan's stupid.
The arcade game.
I really love the colour theming of it. Red, the colour of blood. Black, the colour of despair. Unfortunately, this is the Doan from the TV episode, so he's not as bearish as we would like.
He's just kind of a nothing boy. He's like, oh yeah, I didn't want to kill some children, so I rescued them instead. And I'm like, okay.
But also, like, I know Zeon are evil, but I feel like explicit orders to shoot children probably isn't their deal, right?
I know, right? It's like, they've gone from being like, oh, we're trying to be a bit balanced about showing that they're both, you know, humans, to, oh, they want to shoot children. Oh, you didn't shoot the children? Bad, Doan.
10 years dungeon.
Like, to, like, comically ridiculous Nazi villains. And it's like, it's only been 15 episodes, guys.
They're going to get worse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to get more Nazi, but I don't think they're going to get as comically stupid fucking evil as Kill the Children.
Like, I think it worked a lot better in the movie where he just felt guilty about the carnage he, like, you know, did.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, we'll get to that in the movie thing, but it's like, it's a consequence of his fighting that causes Rubble to kill Lope's mum, and like that's the flashback we get, and I think that's better than I'm in my Zaku and I accidentally fired at a adult on the ground.
I shot a kid,
and then I wouldn't shoot the child next to it.
Oh yeah, no, he didn't shoot.
Are so angry.
I was just doing Die Hard. Sorry.
I shot a kid.
I shot a kid.
I shot a kid.
Why is that guy, like, still got a job? Fuck that guy.
Oh, because cops are bastards, Alex.
Yeah, I think I just don't get, like, the idea that someone on the other side of, like, the fucking telephone is like, Doan, you want to shoot that child. Doan, shoot the children.
Fuck them kids.
And he's like, what? No. No, I mean, I know there's some horrible people out there, but I don't think I can see in any kind of war them being like, yeah, you just got to shoot them kids. I mean, I can, actually, now that I think about it, but I'm not going to think about those things because that's depressing and
let's
horrible.
Not, like, let's instead think about, Doan's just like, I'm awake now.
Time and he goes to look at a radar that makes me think about the intro to Happy Days, like the vinyl record player and like all the different records, the different actors, and it's like, haha. But it's just a radar. So apparently, if you put a circle on any background, I just start going, Sunday, Monday, Happy Days.
Happy Days.
And then, you know, the other days of the week.
The other days are also fun. Oh, bow selector. Anyway, nah, he goes to the radar, and it's one of them contrivances of like, well, how do they know that the Zaku's coming in time to get in their own Zaku? Well, he was looking at the radar in the middle of the night. He goes there just in time. It's fine. Zaku's coming.
Zaku's coming.
Here he is.
It's just I don't know. But also, why in this world? Because, like, obviously, 0.305 has some relevance in that, but it's not got, like, a hidden missile silo or anything on it this time. Like, was a Zaku just holding onto a Luggen flying past, and it was just like, oh, hey, there's that, like, destroyed Fed ship on the beach. I best go shoot at some children.
Oh god, I'm stuck. Like, oh, my hand's stuck in the Luggen. Please stop.
I don't want to question the motivation of a Zaku where we never learn a face or name and it has nothing to do other than be evil. But what the fuck is going on this episode?
Like, it's his commander that was telling him to shoot the kids.
I assume that maybe they saw the core fighter and sent out someone to go investigate, but it's never clarified.
Yeah, that's
confirmed.
Sammy. You're
that's
doing
Sammy
the work
being
for
clever.
Them.
Yeah, you're Marvel No Prizing that shit.
They don't deserve your labor.
No, they don't.
But you know what? What we get out of this, this Zaku coming, is eventually the bad Gundam. The worst Gundam. The Gundam who turns his head and the face shrinks.
The wide before Gundam.
That, before that, we get, like, the people on White Base being like, oh, there's a Zaku. Oh, Shall we follow it? It seems to be going in the same direction as where Amara went, but I don't think we know for certain. Let's just focus on
sending Ryu initially with his using the same ship that Amaru went missing in. He's like, yeah, no, core fighter, that'll do. With the white base trailing behind.
Core fighters, right?
Well, ever since that one core fighter got hit in coming home, they've just suddenly become worse than ever. Like, this is your fundamental belly of every mobile suit, like we've seen on the Fed side so far.
I think they realised that they made the core fighters too powerful in earlier episodes, because there's like points where they're destroying Zaku's with one hit.
What's the point of having a Gundam if the core fighter is this capable?
I don't think it was Char specifically, but it might have been Char specifically. He was like, oh, a battle class beam on a tiny ship. Ah, ooh, or something like that.
At this point, they're probably starting to think about the G armor that they're going to have to introduce, which is in vehicle form some of the time, so that needs to be powerful. You need to nerf the core fighter ready for the G fighter.
That's
okay. I'm looking forward to that.
No, oh, you're not gonna fight those G's, Sammy.
Sammy, you may think you're excited about the G fighter. Let me tell you, you fucking ain't.
I'm gonna be sat next to you when you first see it, and I'm gonna have to survive your onslaught.
It's like. We'll talk about the G-Fighter again in the movie summary. Well, no, in the movie, no. However we do it.
Whatever, yeah.
But my God, there are better options than the G-Fighter. The fact we have to be exposed to it watching the show is a hell of a thing. When Ryu arrives, they've already retreated from the cabin into the waterfall, and the Zaku's firing at the waterfall. And he's just like, what's going on? Why is this guy shooting water?
What's happening?
Have you seen some children go into a waterfall?
What the fuck is going on
They
here?
Just have to kill the children. So they got to shoot up the waterfall. That's how it goes, right? In Zeon, you got to kill all children.
It's just... I don't get how anyone could write this episode and think, yeah, the Zeon just love fucking killing kids, man. Like, what?
They're the baddies.
They're nasty. This is how we show that they're nasty. They kill children.
And I mean, they definitely feel more alien in this episode because... You know, other than Doan, like, who's the Luggan, really? What is it? It's nothing. The Luggan is just a little thing that hangs around so the Zaku could arrive, and it's got no personality and it dies. What's the Zaku? A comically evil nothing that doesn't communicate and gets fucking punched to death.
The undefeated of the East, Kukuru's Doan, uses his... Falcon punch?
No, he charges I'm sorry, forwards. Every move that this Zaku does is called Mobile Suit Martial Arts.
Well, not because he calls his attack just before he does it, actually, right? And the attack's name is apparently, I'm the one who killed these kids' parents.
What a weird thing to just
he
say.
He charges forward. I'm like, is that your power-up phrase?
I think because he's explaining to Amuro, because Amuro's just like, I still don't trust you. Because I think you've manipulated the children. So the logical thing to then say is, will I kill these children's parents?
Amaro, I haven't manipulated anyone. I just replaced their parents with myself by throwing a rock at them.
I don't really have words to explain what kind of batshit backwards thing. I mean, the whole thing, they just wanted to get it in that like, oh, actually he's really good because he's... You know, he's taking the children in, and I'm like, well, what if they had relatives?
I mean, maybe that's why Zeon is so cartoonishly evil in this. It's because maybe they were, you know, in the writer's room being like, hey, this guy that our episode's about that does like a heroic thing at the end kind of seems like a bastard. And it's like, maybe the other guy's worse then.
That's the only thing. They couldn't think of how to make Doan better, so they just made Zeon worse. Yeah.
Like the Labour Party.
God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's so funny. The introduction of Mobile Suit Martial Arts here, as he's like, no, hold on, I'm going to do this fight. And like Amuro blocks a kick from the enemy Zaku and it falls over. And I'm just like, you could win. He's down. All you have to do is shoot him. And it's like, no, I need him to get up so I can punch him.
Doan is just such a principled person that he can't punch a Zaku when it's down. He has to wait for it to get up.
His principles fucking suck.
He has to adopt children when he kills the parents.
This is war.
This is what?
It's like he goes, I hope this is just bad translation on the part of the version I found, but he goes, I'll continue to fight as long as the children are watching. And that seems like a bad idea. Don't have them watch.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be traumatised enough already.
All the children turn away and he just lets himself get killed.
The Zaku disappears. No, my precious Zaku.
The kids cheering him on, by the way. I do not know how they recorded them cheering, but I feel like they did it using a fucking tin can.
Which is weird because normally the sound design is quite good in this.
Yeah. Not anymore, it's not.
Not anymore.
So he blows the Zaku's back out and it explodes in the water. I don't fucking know. It's fine because there was no one inside. Everything looks like shit. And then I think, does anybody else want to talk about martial arts more?
No.
There's not a lot to say about it. For how goofy it is, it's also nothing, you know?
It's just, mobile suit martial arts. The thing with mobile suits is they're, by and large, unless you're a Gundam, you're made of the same stuff. And so, turning it into martial arts, unless velocity is really on your side, you're going to be fucking up your mobile suit quite a bit fighting. That would be like doing bare-knuckle boxing and wondering why your fingers are fucking broken.
See, I can appreciate mobile suit martial arts because one of my first Gundam shows that I watched was...
Oh, Bill Fighters Try.
Oh, where the main character...
Yeah, you know what?
Bill Burney who punches things. So that didn't really come off as weird to me. It was more the fact that they were making such a big deal out of it. I'm like, yeah, you can punch things in a Gundam. What's your problem?
But that's you're doing Tatsumaki Senpukaku.
Everyone does this. It's fine.
I know you're the first one, but come on. I don't need you to lecture me about it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, hey, some of our punching Gundams attach a smaller deformed Gundam to their hand to make a bigger fist.
Oh, well, yeah, but Kukurizdo and Zaku doesn't need to attach anything for a bigger fist. It can just be off model.
And its hand will be huge.
Do you remember when that old guy Zaku won, was punching away at the Gundam, and it was, doing a bit, but it was ultimately futile. That's Mobile Suit's martial arts.
Oh, my God.
We've already had it.
And it sucked then.
And it sucked and it failed and an old man died.
But look, a computer.
So we get... the battle's over and Amuro is in the mode of being like, You smell of war. I've got to throw your suit away.
And the waiter told me.
And he does this by... keep in mind, the Gundam's got whatever strength it has, right? Zaku's are probably quite heavy mobile suits. He fucking yeets that shit into the sea. It goes flying.
A new record!
Yeah, it's fucking stupid, because he doesn't say, hey, Doan, they're probably tracking your Zaku. You know, maybe they're sensing the tech. Maybe they're doing that. He's like, no, your Zaku smells like war. Smells. Go on.
You smell like
get
war.
Rid.
Yeah, I thought it was more like a philosophical thing. Like, as long as you're still having conflict as a core part of your life, you can't truly escape conflict, which I thought was quite clever. But as you've now pointed out, I have to say, yeah, it's probably just having the Zaku made it easier to be tracked and attacked, huh?
It's just a weird... They don't phrase it in a normal way. But again, that is me looking at it surface level. I think below what you said is something because, much like trauma and pain in the real world, if you define yourself by it, then you can never get over it. Yeah, fair enough. I don't think anime friend were putting that on the page.
I mean, I think it was a bit of both because it felt like they were trying to say something potent or important about war and trauma and blah, 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 but they couldn't quite do it. So they're just like, you smell bad.
It smells like war here.
It's a hell of a thing. And it's like, you have to think, if whoever was in charge of the Lugan and the Zaku that disappeared out here, would they have got a termination signal from one of their troops? Like how in the movie we know the gyms have been disappearing on the island. And it's like, they're going to come there and investigate. And you've not even got a Hell Sword Zaku anymore.
Oh, the house is gone as well, yeah.
I mean, I can't quite remember. I might be getting them confused. But at the end, does Owen be like, oh, we've got to leave the island?
Oh,
and
maybe
I'm like,
he
yeah,
does
your house
in this
was
one.
Destroyed.
I hope they do, actually. That would be better. Because I don't think there are any trees left.
Yeah, but I know there's like... It's an interesting thing, because he's now completely defenseless. It's a big gamble. And then, of course, as I was saying in the summary, Amra, like, gives a salute across to Doan, but I think the animation budget ran out, because Doan and the kids don't do fuck all back. And it's really awkward.
I think they
awkward.
Try and smile at Amaro, but... I think they had run out of...
It's like,
I
mean, you know when you wave at someone and it turns out you don't even know them? It feels a bit like that.
I was assuming that it was just like in real life, because whenever I salute someone in real life, they never do it back.
In real life, I only salute magpies when I see them by myself. No, that was wrong. I only salute magpies when I see them by themselves, because I have superstitions, but I forget the rhyme.
One for sorrow, two for mirth, three for a funeral, four for a birth.
What? I never heard that one until I moved up here.
What?
Oh, because it was one for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl, four for a boy.
Oh, yeah, that's, no, that's the one from the TV show.
TV show?
Yeah, the Magpie. And that was, they used the Magpie rhyme as the theme for it. I think it was in the 70s and or 80s and or 60s. Nobody knows.
Mobile Suit Gundam.
But yeah, there's a bunch of different versions of it in actual UK folklore. I know about 18,
ooh,
but most of them are just like one word different, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, yeah.
And I only know them because of the Folklore of Discworld book that you got me. So, yeah,
that's cool.
So, Kookaburra's Doan's Island. Piece of shit, right?
Fucking awful.
1.5 stars.
Not even that.
It's like,
Jesus Christ.
We've seen some bad episodes. I still rate Sailor's Agony as the worst canonized episode we've watched. Is this worse than Sailor's Agony?
Yeah,
it is, isn't it?
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
But that is a purely subjective thing, because while Kookaburra's Doan's Island is terrible, it makes no sense, the characters are lacking in any kind of substance, it looks like shit, and it's not nice to look at. Sailor's Agony does have the core message of women suck, though, right?
Yeah, but at least I can laugh at that because it's from the 70s and they're stupid.
I know, but it's still frustrating to watch. I'm watching
that.
It in the here and now.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing, is the canonization, the fact that Sailor's Agony is incredibly important to the ongoing plot actually does kind of make it sting more. I do get that.
I get where you're coming from, but also...
But for ones that don't matter at all, is Kookaburra's Doan's Island worse than the Core Fighter's Escape?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I'd say that, yeah. Yeah.
I think for me, the thing that really bothered me was, like, just the fact that Amaro spent the whole episode being like, but he's secretly manipulating you, right? He's creepy, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting this vibe. Yeah,
yeah.
I agree with you, Amaro.
Do you get the
and
impression?
Then at the end, Amaro's just like, oh, it's fine.
That's That doesn't get resolved, like, because it's like, I think you're manipulating these children. He's not manipulating them, and I've slapped you. And he's like, well, I've got to tell you the secret, Amaro. I'm not manipulating them. I've just killed and replaced their parents.
Like, that's a creepy thing to say.
That's worse. You see how that's worse?
You know whoever wrote that did not think about any of the implications of what was being said.
And like at the end of the episode, it's like I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna throw your Gundam away now.
But do you think that he thought he was like going, this dad must be manipulating his children. It's what my dad would do to me.
Hey, an eye for an eye, and that's why Amaro at the end takes away everything and leaves him to starve to death. The only difference is that he hasn't been tied to anything.
No,
he's still going to die of exposure.
He finds the easy solution. He makes one of the children get in the Gundam, shoot out the edge of the Earth. They're not in his side. It's a bit difficult. And it sucks Doan into space.
Oh, no. Yeah, I just, like, Because on the one hand, it's like clearly they're trying to set up Doan as being a good guy who leaves pilots to die in their fucking plane.
It's non-violent. I'm taking the piss with it, but that's what they're trying to say, isn't it?
It's weird, though.
They're trying to frame
that
as humane.
Medieval times,
yeah, no,
you know?
It's leaving them out for the crows.
That's fucked up. And he's exposing children to that.
Nah, kids, it's humane.
And then also he killed their parents. I know he did in the movie, too, but at least he seemed like... sad but about it.
The thing in the movie is that it doesn't set it up as we think that he's being manipulative, but actually it's fine because he killed their parents. It doesn't do that. It's like, what is going on here? Hermeneutic code.
Yeah, like spoilers for the movie summary, but I am very, very pleased they did not go back to that well.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because the water wasn't coming out the well, they had to splunk down there.
I think as well what bothered me is, like, because, like, it did kind of seem like he was manipulating the children.
He was
like,
manipulating the children.
Roland, like, cooks and cleans. Well, like, it seemed she had that kind of role. And then, like, when they're doing farm work outside, like, they didn't really have time to show him participating in
that. He was digging in the dirt. Did you not hear Peter Gabriel singing?
I don't think that was enough, really.
Stay with me, I need support. Because my house has been destroyed.
I think making a hole in the ground is the easy part of the job.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean? So, from an outsider perspective, he could be manipulating these children.
The jury's not out on this one. He's manipulating them kids. Anyway, that covers that, right?
Yes. Hello and welcome to the unexpected end of the show. You see, curiously, I appear to have ended up in a situation where it is 2 a.m. on the day I release these episodes, and I have literally just about managed to edit this together. It is now officially a two-parter. Come back in 2 weeks for the review of the Cuckoo's Doan's Island movie. It'll be really good. I think it's a really good episode. The recording was 5 hours long. It was always a risk of being split in half. But, I'm also waiting for my second child to be born. I'm technically on paternity leave right now. So, little preoccupied. So, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. We've been trying some new things. Please give us some feedback over on Twitter at Radio Gundam. Please... head over to the podcatcher of your choice. Give us a review. 5 stars only, please. It's the only thing that ever seems to matter to these systems. And just be cool. Show notes for this episode will go up on beehivepods.wordpress.com. Maybe not immediately, because I have to take whatever show notes I made for the whole episode and work out what belongs in which half. Should be interesting. Make sure to go to rockhistory.co.uk for Alex and Sammy's other podcast. It alternates weeks with Radio Gundam and is really, really good. I really love the work my friends do. And I get to appear on it about once a month with a bit of real role play. I did say it was 2 a.m. So if you've got a rage on, beat it with us at Radio Gundam. No, that's not how... I'm so tired.